You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. It's your live broadcast for the evening of Saturday, April 19th. It's Holy Week, the holiest weekend on the Christian calendar, to be sure. Yesterday was Good Friday. Tomorrow is Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to be talking about that later on in the show this evening, in addition to delivering to you our splendid and unique commentary and analysis on a number of issues. We continue Confederate History Month as well in the second hour. We've got a very unique guest. We're going to be talking about something in the second hour tonight that we haven't covered even after all these years of our annual April salute to our boys in gray. We're going to cover some new area tonight. So I'm excited about that. This is something that Keith Alexander put together for us. So Confederate history coming up later in the program, a salute to Easter, and then politics and items of the day in between. It's going to be a busy night. Again, welcome to the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards, the aforementioned Keith Alexander the Great here in studio with me this evening. It's a beautiful, beautiful spring day and has been now a spring evening here in Memphis. The dogwoods are in bloom. And no matter where you are tuned in to us this evening, we hope that you and yours will have a very blessed weekend. And a happy Easter, of course. And you may be anywhere, certainly here in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on one of the two AM affiliate stations that carry us in syndication, one of the affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, or perhaps even online, tuned in on the internet. We are a top 10 ranked show in listenership on the internet each and every week. I had an email come in not long ago, Keith, today, from a gentleman who said he would be tuning in tonight and is tuned in now, in fact, from Amsterdam. So from Memphis to Amsterdam and ports of call in between, we welcome you to the broadcast. And I just want to take a point of personal privilege, if I may, ladies and gentlemen, and share with you an experience that I had on Thursday. On Thursday, I took a little day trip. I woke up early, was on the road by 6 a.m. I drove into Missouri, where I visited one of the AM stations that carry us. Now, keep in mind, we talk about being a top 10 rated show in terms of internet listenership during our weekly time slot each and every Saturday night, but that does not count the AM and FM mainstream affiliates that broadcast our work to different markets across the country. And we've been picked up by an affiliate in Missouri, and so I drove up there to meet with the station management and the owner there, who was just a splendid lady. I tell you, when I got there, I spent a couple of hours there at the radio station meeting with some of our friends. Sam Bushman was there. He was in Illinois giving a speech, so he drove down to Missouri. I drove up to Missouri. We met there at one of the affiliates that carries Liberty News Radio programming. And I got to tell you, this lady was just such a sweetheart. Showed me all the respect in the world. I was telling a contributor to the show that you would have thought Elvis Presley had walked in. She was a fan of the show. She's listening. So, Sonny, if you're listening tonight, it was such an honor to be able to meet you. And I thank you for carrying our program in your city. And we got to meet Keith with some of the sponsors of that radio station. We got some swag, I guess you could say. I spent, about 30 minutes signing copies of my book for some of the folks there at the radio station, taking pictures with them. And you would have thought truly, and I say this not braggadociously, but in true humility, that royalty had walked in. And it's great to know that there are free-thinking people out there, God-fearing, middle American, paleo-conservatives who appreciate our message, appreciate the fact that we tackle taboo topics that no one else does in mainstream radio, and they don't only allow us to have a home on their radio stations, but they love what we have to say, and certainly we love them too.
Yes, people who are listening to this show have one thing in common, one primary characteristic, and that is they think for themselves and think outside the box. They're not constrained by political correctness. They're not constrained by what is customary and usual. they have questing spirits, and we're really heartened that there are radio stations, terrestrial radio stations, that handle this show. It's not just an internet sensation. It is an internet sensation. There's no doubt about that, being in the top 10 consistently week in and week out, I think qualifies you to call yourself an internet sensation. But in addition, we have umpteen terrestrial stations throughout the nation, throughout the United States of America. We'd like to have some overseas as well. But nonetheless, the thing is growing. The mainstream has done its best to smother us in the cradle. They can't do it. And we're getting ever onward and upward, James.
Well, 10 years on the air and growing strong, as we like to say. And all of this, folks, you know, make no mistake, when we talk about these things, when we take a momentary departure from our standard fare and give you an update about what's going on and the state of the program, we don't do it because we're so proud of ourselves. Certainly not. It's an ode to the audience, because all of this has been done and accomplished based upon the support and benevolence of our listeners, and obviously the management of these radio stations that are supportive, and, as Keith mentioned, our detractors, those who would lie about our intents and what we have to say, would lead you to believe that we're pariahs. But, you know, when we meet real Americans, when we meet the real people out there, red state Americans, not just red state, I mean, certainly we have, you know, blue state listeners who are right-thinking people as well, people all over the world even. But when we meet these people, we are always so well-received. You know, we read some of the listener mail on occasion on this show that comes in, and that is certainly the norm. That is the rule rather than the exception. We are always well-received by the people that make this country work, the people that make this country go, the people we care about. We're revered. As I always say, Keith, and it was re-impressed upon me in Missouri this week, we have the right friends and we have the right enemies, and you need both.
Absolutely. We love what needs to be loved and hate what needs to be hated in American life today. And this radio station is an authentic voice for Red State America. Now, there are a lot of people in charge of the media, the big media, that don't like to hear that. But this is, we're not outside the box, quite frankly. The way we think and what we talk about and the ideas we have are not uncommon here in the heartland of America, folks.
Absolutely not, folks. And I know I get emails quite often from people saying, hey, you know, talk a little bit more about what's going on behind the scenes. You know, what are we missing out on? How's the show doing? You know, we love what you have to say, but let us know what you know. And so, of course, Keith, on occasion, that's what we're doing here. We typically like to open the show with a little friendly banter and announcements of the day or announcements that have occurred since the previous week's show, and that would have to be at the top of the list. Just had a great, great time in Missouri, made some new friends, and well, we're all the better for it. And the political cesspool continues onward and upward. Again, busy show tonight, Confederate History Month, Easter, and more. When we come back, we're going to talk about Amtrak. If you've been to our website this week, you might have a hint as to what we're going to be telling you. But there's a lot more to it than that. So stay tuned. We're going to kick the show off in earnest right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, friends. What's going on at Amtrak? I believe Amtrak, like much of the commercial airline industry, has been subsidized by the federal government. It might even be government-owned now. Certainly. Its diversity policy would mimic that of the federal government. It looks like they're looking for all kinds of employees at Amtrak and customers, except, of course, for normal European Americans. I'm going to read from the Amtrak's website right now, if I may. At Amtrak, our employees, our programs, and our suppliers reflect the nation we serve. Our diverse and inclusive behavior creates a work environment where everyone adds value and contributes to our business. Our comprehensive diversity and inclusion strategy for recruiting, welcoming, and onboarding, engaging, developing, and promoting apply to all Amtrak employees. Now, they couldn't just leave it there, saying, we appreciate diversity and everyone's welcome. No, they have to point out who they're really talking about. And here's who it is. Minorities, women, people with disabilities, and the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community across all generations. Minorities, check. Women, check. Handicapped folks, check. Perverts, check. We're missing somebody here, but let me continue. Amtrak recognizes the importance of diverse and inclusive behavior that empowers employees to reach their full potential. We're committed to fostering an environment where diverse ideas, backgrounds, and perspectives thrive. And we're committed to protecting the rights of all individuals. By embracing diverse people and diverse styles, we demonstrate our respect for each other. Every year, Amtrak celebrates Black History Month, Women's History Month, Hispanic Heritage Month, and National Disability Employment Awareness Month, to name a few. Our aim is to recognize as well as celebrate our multicultural, multigenerational, and diverse workplace. So, Keith, again, they couldn't just say, we respect all people. Best person for the job gets the job. No, they had to point out who they were referring to specifically, and they pointed out a lot of people. But there was certainly one that I didn't see included in the list, Keith.
Well, you know what it does? It reminds me of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Scholarship Fund, which provides scholarships for all sorts of children except for white Gentile children. And they specifically exclude them. Those people can be as needy, they can be as poor as a church mouse. It doesn't matter. they're not the intended beneficiaries. See, this is what people don't understand about liberalism, and this is the reason why we say constantly on this show that liberalism is the modern face of evil. This is not pro-anything. This is anti-white, basically. And Amtrak has jumped on the bandwagon, and they are as anti-white as any corporation in America is. This is the new style. See, we were all told a lie by Martin Luther King back in the 60s when he said that he was looking forward to the day when his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. As you can see, content of your character has nothing to do with it now. We're still judging people by the color of their skin. Only the favored groups are now the groups that used to be disfavored back in the days of segregation. So basically, we've just swapped one type of racial discrimination for another. Amtrak has shown this. It's time for people generally to insist upon fair play, because quite frankly, the federal laws like the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which is the foundation and the basis for most of this affirmative action, for example, the EEOC, which enforces affirmative action, was specifically created in the 1964 Civil Rights Act. All of these laws that are supposedly mandating affirmative action don't do anything of the kind. They actually mandate colorblind treatment. And it has taken a massive bureaucracy of technocrats to turn what was intended to be, or which was at least on its face, supposed to be a colorblind regime where the best and the brightest, as you said, would get the job. Now, it doesn't, to heck with the best and the brightest, we've got to have a certain number of people that have been designated to be officially disadvantaged, and they have to be positioned in businesses and in like Amtrak, like General Motors, like whatever. And if they're not, there's going to be hell to pay.
Of course, that Amtrak mentions, as I just mentioned, minorities, women, people with disabilities, homosexuals. They celebrate every sort of Heritage Month that you can imagine, except one honoring heterosexual white Christians. Certainly not Confederate History Month. Yeah, that's not celebrated at Amtrak. They also have gone even further by launching three microsites, which is basically the official Amtrak site, but geared towards what they call multicultural travelers. They have a bilingual site for Hispanic consumers, which, of course, to be a citizen of this country, you have to be proficient in the English language. I mean, that used to be a prerequisite. So why put it in Spanish? MyBlackJourney.com for African-American travelers, and Amtrak Ride with Pride. So you can be proud to be a pervert, and that, of course, is geared towards the LBGTQRSLTLN crowd. These microsites are culturally focused travel sites that speak the unique languages of our customers. Well, they even have an ad here, and I posted a picture of it. It's the Ride with Pride ad, and it's got two sodomites here, two perverts, and they've got a young boy sitting in their lap. So it's like the two dads and then the kid.
Heather has two moms.
This kid has two daddies, and priceless family moments are now affordable. Well, that's a lie, first of all, because this isn't a family. This is an abomination. And second of all, it's not affordable. The Amtrak, no, listen, I'm telling you, rail travel, passenger rail travel in the United States hasn't improved since the antebellum era. It's light years behind Europe. It costs twice as much to ride a train as it does to fly, and it's slower than driving. So why would anyone want to ride Amtrak, first of all, just based upon the outrageous price? And the slow method of delivery, getting you to point A, point B, and then you have to take in all this politically correct nonsense. So they even throw in these special websites geared for everyone except for the dispossessed majority. It looks like everyone has their interests covered by Amtrak except us. And make no mistake about it, Keith, and this is just further proof to prove our case, political correctness is the state religion in this country. And if you ever doubt that, folks, if you ever doubt who's in control, simply ask yourself who or what it is that cannot be criticized. Can you criticize, they say, white privilege, white heterosexual males run and dominate this country? Can you make fun of white heterosexual males? Can you condemn and mock and deride and ridicule Southerners? Absolutely. What happens if you do it to a homosexual? What happens if you, and I'm not talking about just mocking, I'm talking about even objective criticism. You know, can you mock Jesus Christ? God knows every day. They're doing it on Easter weekend as much as any. Can you mock Martin Luther King? Can you even say anything other than he was greater than Jesus Christ in terms of his stature? Hardly. You know, who's in charge? It ain't us.
Yeah. That's it. It's like, I think it was what they said in Watergate, follow the money. Well, follow the money and you'll find out exactly who is in charge of American industry, American government, and the media. Every one of these institutions has been taken over by the left, and the left is predominantly directed and financed through Jewish power and influence. And we're one of the few organizations, few radio stations, that will come out and tell the truth on this. We'll call a spade a dirty shovel, as Granddad used to say. And it's important to understand this, because, quite frankly, without Jewish power and almost impossible liberalism has taken place not only in America but throughout the Western world over the past 70 years, really 60 years. And this is this transformation is absolutely incredible, James. And this, the Amtrak is just a symptom, just a pimple on it.
We'll be back with more, folks, right after this. I guess the message in that segment was don't ride Amtrak. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, gang. You know, when I was up there in Missouri a couple of days ago, to continue the story I was telling at the opening of the program tonight in the first segment, one of the things that the station owner was so excited about this month was actually the Confederate History Month series, which we do each and every April. For every Saturday we have in April, we dedicate an hour to Southern history and culture. We're going to be doing so tonight. She shared with me that she had ancestors from Kentucky that had fought for the South, and that she really appreciated us sharing that part of our nation's history, which is certainly a history that you don't hear about anymore, objectively speaking. I mean, certainly there's no shortage of... Not in the educational establishment, right, but certainly there's no shortage of people rushing to condemn the Confederacy and to sully the honor and the memory of those great and brave men who were so far superior morally, intellectually, physically to all of their detractors, these mealy-mouthed liberal rats. In the media today, the establishment media. Well, anyway, she was excited about the Confederate History Month series. It's always rewarding when we do a special series like this to have feedback like that, and it's good to know that people like that do enjoy it. So, Keith, I know you're going to give us a little bit of a, not necessarily a preview of what's coming up in the second hour. We have a guest actually here at the radio station tonight that's going to sit in with us live and give you some history on heroes of the Confederacy that perhaps you haven't heard about before. You know, in years past, we do our best to highlight some of the big names, if you will, Lee, Forrest, Jackson, and others. We're going to hear about some Confederate heroes that maybe you aren't so familiar with. But, Keith, before we get to that, tell us what you want to share.
What I want to share is we're kind of going into a micro phase of looking at people that might be considered obscure Confederate generals or Civil War generals in the second hour, but we need to talk about the big picture. And the big picture is that American history in particular, and I mean generally, and the history of the Civil War in particular, has been totally corrupted by the left and by the educational establishment, which is of course totally dominated now by people from the political left. Their primary message is that the Civil War was fought all about slavery, that Southerners were the bad guys and Northerners were all uniformly against slavery and they were the good guys. And of course, none of those propositions is true or correct. What really happened in the Civil War was that slavery was a peripheral issue. It was not the primary reason why the war started. The primary reason why the war started was that the South seceded from the Union, and the Lincoln administration in particular, who was the new president of the United States, was bound and determined that was not going to happen under any circumstances. So if you want to know what caused the Civil War, you need to ask yourself what motivated the first seven Southern states to secede from the Union, and then what modified the remaining four states to secede after Lincoln sent out his call to in the seven states that had seceded. Well, it's obviously not slavery, because one thing that you never hear about in a mainstream history course, a mainstream history television broadcasts like those on PBS is, now take this down, the Corwin, C-O-R-W-I-N Amendment. What was the Corwin Amendment? The Corwin Amendment was a proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It would have been the 13th Amendment had it passed, and if all the Southern states that seceded had voted for it, it would have passed and become part of the United States Constitution. And it also shows that Lincoln was not the great emancipator. Lincoln did not originate the Corwin Amendment. There was a congressman named Corwin who did that from the Midwest, but Lincoln was so on board with it that he sent a handwritten letter to the governor of every state in the Union urging them to ratify and pass the Corwin Amendment in their state legislature, ratify it in their state legislature, send proof of that ratification to D.C., to Washington, so that this could become the law. What did the Corwin Amendment do? The Corwin Amendment proposed that slavery would forever remain free and legal. It would be lawful and legal in every state and territory in the United States as it was then configured for eternity. In other words, slavery would always be a protected constitutional right, the right to have slaves, okay? Now, if Lincoln was a great emancipator, how do you explain this, his support for this? He was not the great emancipator. He was a great unionist. He was a great maven of big government. He wanted the United States to be a large, wealthy nation that could project its power and influence on a world stage. That was his vision. And he wasn't about to see the United States split in two by allowing 11 states to secede from the Union. And he was going to do whatever it took to bring those states to heel. Now, every really educated person in America back then acknowledged that there was an implicit right to secede in the Constitution of the United States of America. The United States of America was created when 13 colonies seceded from the British Empire. So secession and nullification, which is a cousin doctrine, which says that if the federal government passes a law that is contrary to the ethos and the customs of any particular state, that state has the right to declare that federal law a nullity within its borders. So nullification and secession were recognized by most people as being inherently lawful for states and to consider to do under the American system that as it existed and as it was created by the founding fathers. Jefferson wrote about it. Madison wrote about it. A lot of important people that were founding fathers wrote extensively on the subject. So consequently, this was not some screwball notion. It's basically the right of self-determination in politics. People have the right to determine what type of government they want. That's what's happening in Crimea right now. This is what's happening in this dust-up between Russia and the Ukraine. It's not being reported that way by the news media because the news media is in the service of the left, and the left wants to have a global system of government, and they want globalists to determine where the boundaries are between various nations. They would like these boundaries to disappear. And it was these globalists that came up with the nation of the Ukraine with the dissolution of the Soviet Union. It was not the result of some widespread outpouring of self-determination by the people of the Ukraine. But nonetheless, the reason the Civil War started was not slavery. Slavery, if you read what Abraham Lincoln said about the black race, he would go further. He was more extreme than any Klansman I've ever heard of in terms of what he said that was negative to blacks. People don't understand. We have this conceit of projecting the standards of the politically correct present on historical persons. Nobody or hardly anybody in antebellum America thought like a modern liberal on the issue of race and slavery. Quite frankly, there were many people that are counted as abolitionists, and one in particular would be David Wilmot of Pennsylvania. He's the author. He was a member of the Free Soil Party. He was the author of the so-called Wilmot Proviso that was attempted to be appended to ratifying the Mexican Cession. In other words, the large part of the southwest of the United States that was acquired in the Mexican War. The Wilmot Proviso said that it was that there could be no slavery in those lands. Wilmot wanted that not because of any benevolent instincts towards black people. He was very decidedly anti-black, and he did not want, he saw slavery as a way that black people were brought into the United States, and he wanted to end that because he didn't like having black people in the United States of America. Unfortunately for the left and the leftists that are trying to shove down this vision of America as, and particularly the North as being, you know, the stronghold of abolitionism. Abolitionism was a lunatic left fringe position back then, and even many of the abolitionists were anti-black. That's just the truth of the matter, folks. We're going to talk more about this after these words from our sponsor.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, that was Keith Alexander in the last segment giving you just a little teaser of that which you can expect during Confederate History Hour for tonight's broadcast as we celebrate April, which is Confederate History Month in many southern states. It's an officially recognized month, as we always make mention of, not something that we made up, although we're happy to celebrate it. We're going to be getting into that in the second hour. Much more forthcoming as well when Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I join forces in the third hour. A lot of topics we're not going to have time to get to tonight. Black violence has erupted again at Chuck E. Cheese. It's basically the same story, just a different location. So we post the same story with just the facts of this particular incident. But, you know, let's condemn Chuck E. Cheese once and for all. If you want to read my take on it, the James Edwards take, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. I don't know what it is about Chuck E. Cheese that really brings it out in him, but it does. Brother Nathaniel did a great video on Sheldon Adelson. We had Kevin McDonald on, Dr. McDonald, last week to talk about the Republican candidates just whoring themselves out to Jewish power and influence, trying to get that Jewish PAC money in to fund their candidacies. And there is no depth to which they won't descend in order to curry favor with Jewish Zionist fat cat Sheldon Adelson. Yeah, Keith said they're like pearl divers. Hank Aaron, we talked about this last week. He's compared the GOP to the KKK. And this is the GOP, the same GOP. They have done everything they can to distance themselves from the interests of those who actually vote for their candidates, and that would be white people. They've done everything they can to distance themselves from advancing white interests and doing everything they can to curry favor with their detractors, and still they're no better than the Klansmen to people like Hank Aaron. And there's a lot of people that think like that in the black community. I got a good video up there, Talking Southern Culture with Tom Sunich. A lot more at the website this week. It's been a lot of good articles at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out and make it your daily read. Let's go to Peter Scoop Stanton, who says he's got a story that's going to knock our socks off. Well, my shoes are already off. I tend to come in here in our pajamas to the radio station. So let's go with it, Scoop.
Hi, good evening, everybody in the Cesspool family. I have a story hot off the press. This story is so hot, I canceled my interview with the president, and I told my contact in the Australian Navy with the information with that downed airliner in the South Pacific Sea that we'll have to get to it another time, and you should call CNN. Dateline, Washington, D.C., from the Metro Weekly newspaper. Groups rally against PFZ, Papa Foxtrot Zebra. What is a PFZ? I'll let you know in a minute. About 20 community activists and advocates rallied Friday, April 11th, outside the John A. Wilson Building, which houses the mayor's office and the D.C. Council chambers, to call for the repeal of prostitution-free zones, which opponents say has led to profiling and harassment of transgender people, particularly transgender women of color. That's right. There was a rally outside of City Hall in Washington, D.C., protesting the prostitution-free zone, stating that the prostitution-free zone was
discriminatory,
leading to profiling harassment of transgendered people of color. And I'm not making this up. This is from the April 17th.
It's another pernicious honky plot, right, Peter?
Right. And the the protest was based on a person named Monica Jones, who is a transgender woman and sex worker advocate in Phoenix, who was arrested for a manifestation of prostitution, a police sting. Some of these transgendered supporters saying that we're just trying to encourage D.C. voters to contact the council members and let them know that they think prostitution-free zones are a bad law and that needs to be removed from the books. Now, what's really, really interesting is that the same people who's rallying against prostitution-free zones are the same people rallying for more AIDS awareness, more AIDS prevention, more money for AIDS research, more money and awareness against human trafficking, more money and awareness for these women who engage in women and men and others that engage in this type of behavior. And now the same people are saying, hey, we need to get rid of the prostitution-free zones.
Well, Scoop, let me say this, and Keith is chomping at the bit to chime in as well. You were talking about the transgendered black
women of color that were
women of color,
correct,
right? Now, as far as the diversity totem pole in this country is concerned, they have got to be at the very top with the schleps like us, the white Southern heterosexual working class tax paying God fearing guys, we wouldn't even be at the bottom of the totem pole. We'd be like the foundation that we'd be under the ground that the totem pole sits on, Keith.
And you know, I just was wondering when the left was going to get around to legalizing prostitution. We're apparently right at the cusp of that now. You know, this is why we at this show say that liberalism, modern liberalism, that liberalism is the modern face of evil. They are for every possible device that could possibly be used to destroy our traditional culture, our morals, and our society. And you can see now that feminists, despite the fact that most women would be inalterably opposed to legalized prostitution, are now blazing a new frontier, and we're going to have to look at a brave new world in which prostitution is free, legal, and I guess they would say like about abortions, rare. But unfortunately, it never works out that way. But and it's just, it boggles the mind to hear, you know, like the Pearl Divers we were talking about, there's no depths to which the left won't go to pick up a pearl that they can use to help destroy Western culture and civilization.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, and I mean this in all sincerity, and this isn't an endorsement by any means, but prostitution is far more honorable. It's far more honorable to be a prostitute than a homosexual. You know, so, you know, they've done everything they can. I mean, homosexual sodomites, they fancy themselves, and the government and media certainly has sanctioned this as the new protected minority. You know, prostitutes should have more rights than homosexual. At least prostitution, to some extent, has been around. I guess homosexuality has been around forever, too. But I don't know, between the two, Keith, which one is more morally abhorrent? I mean, they're both bad. I guess when you get to a certain level of depravity, you can't win for losing, but you see where I'm getting at, I guess, where I'm driving.
Well, the thing is, I'm not going to rank them. I just say that it's all outside of God's will, both homosexuality and prostitution. The only type of licit sex there is between one man and one woman in lawful holy matrimony. And that's my last take on it, buddy.
All right, Scoop, back over to you. What else you got?
Okay, just one more thing about the prostitution free zones. Council members in the District of Columbia has sponsored bills banning prostitution free zones. But now there's something more honorable is that when you wonderful listeners of the Political Cesspool come to the nation's capital, instead of going to the White House, Smithsonian, and every other tourist trap here in the area, the one place you need to go, seriously, is Mount Vernon, or which is the home of President George Washington. A couple weeks ago, the family and I took a tour of the grounds where President Washington and Mrs. Washington are buried. And I'd be the first one to say this, that George Washington is America's first rock star. Besides being our first president, and besides being an excellent war hero or excellent leader in battle, George Washington was also a surveyor. He was also an inventor. He invented some things for agriculture. He was also an excellent farmer. He was
excellent soldier.
Right, soldier, farmer. He was also ran a distillery. And also, here's something that liberals forget to tell you in history class. In General Washington's will, he said at the point of his death, all of his slaves are to be freed immediately.
Well, that doesn't exonerate him in the eyes of the left. You know, they've got to lump him in with the pernicious honky plot to torment and enslave all non-white people. The fact that he freed his slaves after his death, of course, they consider that the prototypical case of too little, too late. But you're right. Of course, Scoop, George Washington was a paragon, just like Robert E. Lee. He was, when I was a kid, described in the history books as being first in peace, first in war, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. I can't think of a more ringing endorsement of an individual than that.
Right. And here's something they don't teach in the history books. At the end of President Washington's term in office, he had to figure a way to pass down transfer of power from his successor. And but if you go to his estate, you can actually see the tombstone where Mr. and Mrs. Washington are interned. And the people that run the house, they don't call him President Washington. They refer to him as General Washington. But again, it's I give it three cesspool ring endorsement. Visit Mount Vernon.
Yes, just, and look at your real history, and hopefully it's not going to be clouded by the political correctness that predominates on PBS and in current American history text.
And if you're driving into the Washington area from the west, which I guess you'd have to, you can't hardly drive into Washington from the east unless you're driving across the ocean, but stop at other sites near there. Obviously, the final resting places for General Robert E. Lee and General Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson is there, not far from Washington. And you talked about George Washington being a surveyor scoop. Also, Natural Bridge. George Washington was the first to document the Natural Bridge area of Virginia, and that is a stunning, stunning piece of natural splendor. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with Confederate History Hour for this April series right after this.
Pool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.